Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Wednesday, January 18th, 2023. I'm Naima Latif, and today we're going to share with you a White House news briefing presented by White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. Before answering questions from the press on some pressing matters of national security and other political issues, the press secretary welcomed to the White House representatives of the Golden State Warriors in recognition of their achievements as basketball champions in 2022. And in addition, the White House is addressing some of the legal issues that have arisen. So now we're going to join White House White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
To welcome to the podium Coach Steve Kerr.
Hello.
Head coach of the Golden State Warriors and nine-time NBA champion as both a coach and a player. And Steph Curry, four-time NBA champion and two-time NBA Most Valuable Player. Coach Kerr and Steph will say a few words about their visit to D.C. today and an issue that's close to their hearts, and so I'm going to let them take over. But, you know, I almost went pro, but, you know, being 5'2", 5'3", didn't make it happen. But there's this great video of me and Sue Bird, an amazing icon in the WNBA. You should check that out. But anyway, I'm going to let you guys take over.
Thank you so much for having us today. On behalf of the Warriors, I want to thank President Biden and Vice President Harris for the invitation to come to the White House today to celebrate our championship from a year ago. It's a great reminder of how lucky we are to be Americans, to live in a country where we can chase our dreams and enjoy the fruits of our labor and the celebration of all those around us. And to come here today with members of the organization to celebrate is really something special. It was also very fulfilling for me just a little while ago to take part in a roundtable on gun violence and gun safety with some senior White House staffers along with Clay Thompson and Moses Moody over the last hour or so. We learned a lot about what this administration is doing to help create a safer environment in our country, something that's very close to my heart, and it's wonderful for me to learn a lot more than I knew. So coming in today is it's a great day on many fronts. So thanks for the invitation, and I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Curry.
Thanks, Coach. Echo what he said. I want to thank President Biden and Vice President Harris for the invitation to come here. It's something that we don't ever take for granted. 7 years ago, I believe, we were here last celebrating our first championship and now back to celebrate our fourth. So to have this opportunity to reflect on the accomplishment last year, to bring everybody together to celebrate that, to also acknowledge the play sports has and bringing people together from all walks of life, all backgrounds, to provide inspiration, hope, love, togetherness, and that's what our journey was last year. So to have another opportunity to celebrate that means a lot, and a great opportunity for us from the basketball community to thank President Biden and his staff for all their hard work and diligence on getting Brittany Griner home. It was a big part of our basketball family, and it means a lot to know that she's here and home safe with her family and all the work that went on behind the scenes to make that a reality. So just want to say thank you there, and very excited to be here and celebrate the day, celebrate with our families, and appreciate the invitation. This is truly, truly special, so thank you to everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. No questions, Ray?
As you can imagine, they have a tight schedule. I think they're on their way to meet with the president right now. And then, as you know, some of you will get to see the two of them and the rest of the team at the event that we're having for the Warriors in about an hour, less than an hour. Okay, folks, thank you so much for joining us today. And it was great to hear from two people who have really been passionate voices on the issue that you heard them talk about, which was gun violence prevention. And we really, really are thankful to them for using their platform, their very, very big platform, to talk about an issue that is truly, as you all know and report, that is destroying many families across the country, many communities. And as you know, that the president has worked and been a leader on for many decades. And bipartisan gun prevention bill that was signed this summer just showed the president's commitment to this issue. And as you all know, it continues. It doesn't stop with that legislation. On Friday, it was reported that Republicans have so-called plan to prioritize payments if Congress fails to address the debt ceiling. So I want to be very, very clear here, as I have been, as the president has been, this is not a plan. It is a recipe for economic catastrophe. As President Biden has made clear, Congress must deal with the debt limit and must do so without conditions. But congressional Republicans are threatening to hold the nation's full faith and credit, a mandate of the Constitution, hostage to their demands to cut Social Security, to cut Medicare, and to cut Medicaid. Brinksmanship that threatens the global economy. Their latest idea is that rather than paying its bills, the United States should make payment to wealthy bondholders, including foreign investors, and stop payments for border security, food safety, nursing homes, school lunches, the FAA, drug enforcement, and other programs Americans rely on every single day. This so-called prioritization scheme makes Republicans' priorities pretty clear, crystal clear, if I may add. They want to put wealthy bondholders over ordinary Americans who want safe food, safe skies, safe communities, and secure borders.
Five words.
And that was a statement at yesterday's press briefing by Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. Of course, the issues raised with the continuing partisan positions of can sometimes cause the nation to grind to a standstill, in which there are no actions being taken because there are no agreements as to what is necessary. We'll continue on in a moment with the White House press briefing. But a few other issues in the news today, Wednesday, January 18th, 2 days after the historic gathering in Selma, Alabama, saw a very difficult time for residents of Selma trying to recover from the unexpected tornado and the loss of property and disruption of life. And many are looking for the promised assistance from the White House and also from their state government to determine how will residents proceed in the wake of this tragedy, which affected so many, even in the midst of a planned celebration for the commemoration of the historic march from Selma to Montgomery. And for those who were looking forward to participating, they had an opportunity to observe a city forced to make alternative plans based on the fact that much of the city was in a state of recovery. Selma, Alabama, continues to battle its racial injustice issues. The Bloody Sunday on March 7th, 1965, when then 25-year-old activist John Lewis led over 600 marchers across Edmund Pettus Bridge, became a turning point in the civil rights movement, inspiring many to come south to get involved. And as a result of the nationwide impact, there was legislation passed that changed the voting rights, not just in Selma, Alabama, but across the South. Alabama is still reeling after deadly tornadoes hit the state last week and killed at least 7 people. In Selma, the tornadoes tore through homes and businesses. And the unfortunate aftermath changed what is usually a major celebration, the date of Dr. King's birth and the national celebration. Many activities had to be put on hold as a result of weather conditions that were not expected. And there were a number of changes in plans to accommodate the need to begin to repair the process of restoring property and homes that were lost as a result of that deadly tornado. And as the loss continues to mount, residents of Selma seek to work together with their elected officials to minimize the damage. And now we return to the press conference at the White House with Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, and we hear some questions asked by members of the press. And we return to the White House
briefing. And secure borders. And it does nothing, absolutely nothing, to change the fact that failing to deal with the debt limit would cause economic catastrophe. Bipartisan former Treasury secretaries and independent experts have called out how dangerous failing to raise the debt ceiling would be. For example, I'll give you a couple. The Chamber of Commerce said it would have catastrophic economic consequences, end quote. In 2011,
then Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner called it unworkable and also harmful. And a former economist to Republican Senators Rob Portman, Marco Rubio, and Mitt Romney called it really bad idea and, I quote, disaster. This is just another attempt by congressional Republicans to force unpopular cuts on programs critical to seniors, the middle class, and working families. Congress needs to act and do so swiftly. There is no excuse for political brinksmanship when American jobs and economic safety is on the line here. I also wanted to highlight that this morning the White House released the first ever national strategy to advance equity, justice, and opportunity for Asian Americans, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander communities. The strategy details much needed investment from 32 federal agencies, including improved data, language access, and combating anti-Asian hate. This unprecedented plan builds on the administration's broader equity agenda and President Biden's historic executive order to establish and reinvigorate the White House initiative on AA and NHPI. And we're proud that the Biden-Harris administration reflects the rich diversity of America, including the first Asian American vice president. 14% of our appointees and nominees identify as AA and NHPI, double the share of the population. You can read the full strategy and more about the initiative on thewhitehouse.gov. And finally, this morning, as some of you have already either covered or wrote about, Census Bureau released data that showed that President Biden's first 2 years in office have been the two greatest years for new small business applications on record, with 10.5 million total new business created, with unemployment at a record low in the two strongest years of job creation in our history. There are reasons for economic optimism all over the country. Today's new data is the latest confirmation that President Biden's economic plan is indeed working and is building our economy from the bottom up and the middle out. Zeke, you want to take it?
Thanks, Corinne. There are two questions for you to start off with. Over the weekend, the British government confirmed it's sending tanks to Ukraine for the first time. Will the U.S. follow suit and meet Ukraine's request there? And then separately, Prime Minister Rudd had a meeting in the Oval Office in Minsk. Very angry. He alluded to potentially joining the U.S. and Germany and sending a Patriot assistance to Ukraine. Can you confirm that that was the announcement that's coming out of the meeting? We haven't gotten to read that yet.
Okay, so we're going to have a readout very, very shortly. So once we have that, I will share that with all. We will share, the team will share that with all of you. As far as Patriot missiles, I can say they discussed that, the war in Ukraine and the importance of all the ongoing security assistance. But I would refer to Dutch for any specifics about their own plans as it relates to that specifically. As it relates to the conversation on, I'm sorry, I forgot the first question. So, look, we are always very, very careful on what, we don't like to tell our allies what they should or should not do. But as you know, we have been partners with them when it comes to Ukraine, partners with our allies, and partners with them on how we are continuing to provide assistance to Ukraine in this aggressive war that we have seen, this brutal war that we continue to see by Russia, but certainly that is not something that we will direct. We will continue to focus. We have been the country that has provided the most assistance, as you all know, when it comes to security assistance, when it comes to humanitarian aid, and we are in constant conversations with Ukraine on what their needs are, and so we're going to continue to do that alongside our partners and also our allies.
It's an area where the UK is going to be ahead of the U.S. sending Western tanks to Ukraine. They're going ahead with sending more than a dozen of them in the coming weeks, but the White House still hasn't approved that. So is that in the offing now for the U.S. to leapfrog ahead back into the lead in providing assistance to Ukraine?
Again, look, we are in constant conversation with the Ukrainians on their assistance. We have given the most assistance in any other country. The president, when he walked into the administration, he made sure that he brought the NATO together. He brought our alliance and partners together to make sure that we had the backs of the Ukrainian people. And so that is something that we're going to continue to do.
Certainly, I'm not going to get ahead of any announcements from here. But again, this is we will be with the Ukrainian people for as long as it takes for them to defend themselves, for them to defend themselves against the brutal brutality that we are seeing from the Russian aggression.
I just thought it was a different topic. From Brady, did the discovery classified as official documents of the press in his former office. Last week, you told us it was still that we all can assume, American people could assume that the searches were complete and all the documents have been recovered. On Saturday, the White House Counsel's Office said that five additional classified documents have been found. Is it safe to assume now that all the documents are have been recovered, all the official records, all the classified documents are back in the custody of the National Archives, or are more searches underway to find out if anything else?
I understand your question. We have addressed multiple questions from here. Multiple questions have been answered by the president. I know that you all, just spent about, some of your colleagues, maybe you yourself, Zeke, was on the phone with my colleague for about 45 minutes that addressed a lot of your questions. I'm just going to continue to be prudent here. I'm going to let this ongoing review that is happening, this legal process that is happening, let that process continue under the special counsel. I'm not going to comment from here. One of the things that we have said for the last 2 years when it comes to the Department of Justice, when it comes to legal matters, when it comes to legal issues, we have been very clear that we are not going to comment. We are not going to politically interfere. And that continues with this also, this legal issue. And so I would refer you to the Department of Justice, refer you to the special counsel as it relates to specifics on this issue, and also my White House counsel colleagues are engaging with all of you and will certainly continue to have a conversations on this. I will say that we are consistent with what we have said on cooperating fully with the Department of Justice on this issue, and we will continue to cooperate fully with the special counsel.
Thanks, Grace. On Friday, you stood here, though, and were asked about the documents issued by our counsel 18 times. At that point, the president's lawyers had found these five additional pages of classified documents. So did you not know on Friday that those documents had been found when you were at the podium, or are you being directed by someone to not be forthcoming on this issue?
I have been forthcoming from this podium. What I said yes to was what the statement at the time that we all had, right? You all had the statement, and I was repeating what the counsel was sharing at that time.
Right.
And so
we had that statement, so we knew what was in it, but you also
exactly
knew. Did you not know this?
I'm telling you, I just answered the question. I just said that I was repeating what the information that we had at that time, right, that you all had. I was confirming from what the special counsel had provided to all of you and that we knew as well from here. So just to be very, very clear. And look, I've also been very clear about being prudent from here. I've also been very clear about being consistent from here and not going beyond what is currently happening, right? And again, this is an ongoing, I also said this was an ongoing review that was happening with the Department of Justice and, as we know, with the special counsel. I've been very consistent about that as well. And that's one of the reasons, your question to me is one of the reasons why we are being very, very careful and very mindful and to not interfere here and to make sure that the Department of Justice has their independence. Your question actually proves that, and that's why we're going to continue to refer you to the Department of Justice and refer you to the special counsel or my colleagues.
Is the president
at White House counsel?
Does President Biden have confidence in the way his team is handling this, trickle out of information and the documents being found day after day?
I can tell you this. President has confidence. I can tell you this, that the president and his team rightfully took action when they learned that the documents existed. They reached out to the archives. They reached out to the Department of Justice. That is the steps. We have been very clear about that, the steps and the process that we took here. And look, we're going to continue. We're going to continue to, as we have said, fully cooperate with the Department of Justice. We're going to fully cooperate with the president's team is going to fully cooperate with the special counsel.
If you're a theater major dreaming about seeing your show on a stage, join my...
And once again, that was Karine Jean-Pierre with a White House briefing and a number of reporters that are pressing for answers as the latest information is revealed on an ongoing situation. And, of course, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre reminds those members of the press that there are some issues that are to be spoken of by another department. Today, it was reported by the Chicago Defender and also the city of Chicago is once again making known that there are more opportunities for those who are seeking to do business with the city of Chicago. There are contracts that are available, and businesses who wish to qualify must make sure that they are properly licensed and bonded. Cook County announces a call for transportation and community grant program applications. Applications are now open for programs that promote economic development, public services, and transportation improvement throughout the county. Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle announced a call for applications today for the Department of Transportation and Highways, the DOTH, Invest in Cook grant program to assist communities with transportation and infrastructure improvements. In conjunction, the Bureau of Economic Development, BED, is also accepting Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, applications to support economic development in the county through capital improvement, public service, and emergency solution grant, ESG, programs. President Preckwinkle said, making investments in transportation and economic development projects throughout Cook County is essential. These investments allow municipalities to begin or continue advancing crucial projects vital to the growth of the county and the residents that call our community home. The Invest in Cook grant program under the Department of Transportation and Highways is in the seventh year in a row. The Department of Transportation and Highways in making available money, and this year, $8.5 million is available in the Invest in Cook infrastructure grants to help prioritize transit and other transportation alternatives and to support the region's role as North America's freight capital. Also to provide equal access to opportunities, maintain and mobilize what already exists, and increase investments in transportation. That is all for today. You've been listening to On Air Daily News for Wednesday, January 18th, 2023. Join us tomorrow, 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern. And when you see good news happen, invite you to call and report it during our newscast. You can call in at 515-605-9749. That's 515-605-9749. And report good news that you see happening, good deeds being done. We want to share them with our listening audience and encourage more. Remember, we are all in this together. Until tomorrow, continue to enjoy the rest of your day.